And good morning. Thank you for joining us again for Trinity Online Worship this morning. We hope that you are doing well. We're glad that we could be together to worship the Lord and share a little love and support with one another. If you've got your bulletin that you received in the mail, if you'll bring that out, you'll be able to follow along and also share in some of the responsive readings and others as well. So please join me in the call to worship as we call ourselves to worship on this beautiful Palm Sunday morning. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Lord's name be praised. Let us worship God.
As we gather to worship, let us open in prayer. Lord God, we do give you thanks for the gift of this day. We thank you, Lord, that we can continue to worship you. And while we are apart, we can still gather in your name to give you the praise and the honor and the adoration that is due to you. So Lord, help us to set our minds upon you, to worship you with glad hearts, that we may rejoice in your name. Amen. If you would join me in the affirmation of faith as we read together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. And with you. We have a few announcements and concerns to share with you this week. You should have received those also by email. A couple of announcements that we will share worship again on Monday, Thursday, this coming Thursday at 6 p.m. in a broadcast like this, and then again on Easter Sunday, next Sunday. We invite you to join us at 10 o'clock, or if you can't join us at that hour, the video will be on the website for you to join in afterwards. We're going to continue the tradition of bringing the cross that you can place flowers upon on Easter morning to celebrate the glories of the spring and the life everlasting. So we will put the cross in the place in the yard this week out toward the Bayou Boulevard. And it's been suggested we light it at night to represent Christ, the light of the world. And then we invite you to come by on Easter, bring your flowers from home or others, and place them in the cross. This has the chicken wire on it so you can hold the floral arrangements together and celebrate the bloom of new life. So please join us in our annual tradition. Remind you that all church activities are canceled through the end of April. We're abiding by the governor's stay-at-home order and also trying to follow all the CDC guidelines and our guidance from our church denomination as to what we are doing. Remind you also that the financial support that you're sending and continue to send helps us take care of our benevolences and folks in the community. So please, thank you and continue to send those in by mail. Or many of you are starting to use the online giving that you'll find the instructions on our website under the Giving tab. Our Trinity Learning Center remains closed, I think now until May 4th, along with the school district. And we have worked with our contractor who they are doing the renovations of the hallway, which we had planned this summer. They're going to do it during the closure so that we will not disrupt you again this summer. Our church offices will be closed beginning this week. I've asked the staff to work from home. We'll be connecting each morning online to check in with who needs what from whom and prayer concerns or other things we're learning. And we will have a specified time. We will come and take care of things we need to do here at the church each week. But the safety and security of all, we are going to follow the pattern of many and work from home this week. Remind you of the other activities of the church that you see in your bulletin, and also please note the concerns, the prayer list, the people in our hospitals and home from the hospital, that we continue to support them and love them and ask God's blessing upon them in so many ways. So thank you for keeping up with those. Please follow along with your worship bulletin as we continue. So a few words for the children now. This is Palm Sunday. We do miss so much having your parade where you walk through the church and you're waving your palms, celebrating during the first hymn, and celebrating the life and love of Christ together. So we will think of you as we have this time together, especially our children. But I ask you, do you know why we wave palms? Why they chose to use palms to share that day? Not only did they put the palms on the ground along with their coats in order to give Jesus and the cult honor as they rode through the streets, but also in that arid region where they lived, with so much desert around them, for their animals and others that they're traveling, they always tried to find a water spot to find comfort and refreshment. So they would look as they traveled through the desert especially, and if they saw the palms in the desert, it signified and shared to them there was a watering hole nearby. And they would gather there with their camels and with their other animals, and they could find water, they could find shade, a place to rest. It was almost like coming home to them. And they could be there for a while to refresh themselves before they had to journey onward. So to wave palms to Jesus is to say, the hope we've been looking for is here, and we are giving you a home here. It's coming home to the people we love and care, and you have come home to us. So we thank you, Lord. And we say that when we invite Jesus into our hearts. Welcome into my home. I give you a home in my life, Jesus. Thank you for your love and forgiveness and the life that we have together with him. So when they sang Hosanna, Hallelujah, they're welcoming the one they've been awaiting, the King of Israel, the Son of David, the Messiah, what they've been waiting for so long. So welcome home into our homes. I remind you, though, we're apart from church. You're at home with your families. And you've got adults who are caring for you, there's safety, there's security, there's food, all the comforts that you have. Thank God for the protection of all those love and strength around you. And we will thank God that we have a home together in him too. So you stay home, be safe, and we'll see you soon. God bless you.
Our First scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. But before I read, let us turn to God in prayer. Lord God, we ask that the same Spirit that inspired these words would enlighten our minds and give us the understanding to know you better and to follow you more obediently. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful Palm Sunday. Claire and I were originally scheduled to perform this as an anthem on a regular Palm Sunday service, but we were asked if we could do this on video for now online services during this coronavirus pandemic. So this is our first music video. The song we're going to perform is called "Ride On to Die" by Michael Card. In a particular historical significance is this song was first and last performed by the composer, Michael Card, here in our sanctuary at Trinity Presbyterian with the adult choir, Trinity, as backup. This was during a legacy concert performed about 5 to 6 years ago. The lyrics of the song detail Christ's what Michael Card refers to as so-called triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And no doubt that Jesus, as he's riding on the colt amidst all the clamoring of the crowd and all the shouts of Hosanna the King, is actually saddened. And he's thinking about, of course, the fate that awaits him at the end of this ride into Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to certain death, and also, perhaps, that he's also seeing the fate of Jerusalem approximately 30 years hence, at the hands of Titus, the Roman general, in the siege of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Terrible suffering occurs at that time, and Jesus is grieving for the city and for its inhabitants. For us Christians, it's a time, though, to recognize that our Savior rode on a colt into Jerusalem, knowing the fate that awaited him at the end on the road to Calvary. He rode out of his love for us and out of his desire to give us salvation through his atoning death. Indeed, oh, what a Savior. "Ride On to Die" by Michael Card.
"Sense a sorrow untold as you look down the road at the clamoring crowd drawing near. Feel the heat of the day as you look down the way. Hear the shouts of Hosanna the King. Oh, daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. Passing by you, he he rides on to die. Come now, little foal, though you're not very old, come and bear your first burden bravely. Walk so softly upon all the coats and the palms, bear the one on your back, oh so gently. Midst the shouting so loud and the joy of the crowd, there is one who is riding in silence, for he knows the ones here will be fleeing in fear when the shepherd is taken away. Oh, daughter of Zion, your time drawing near, don't forsake him, or don't pass it by. But the foal of a donkey, as the prophets have said, passing by you, he rides on to die. Soon the thorn cursed ground will bring forth a crown, and this Jesus will seem to be beaten. But he'll conquer alone with the shroud and the stone, and the prophecies will be completed. Oh, daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near, don't forsake him, oh don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as a prophet had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. On the foal of a donkey, as a prophet had said, passing by you, he rides on.
Hear now the word of God as it comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. The story of that first great entrance in a Palm Sunday. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you'll find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says something to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." Now this took place that was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Say to the daughter of Zion, 'Behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a beast of burden.'" And the disciples went and did just as Jesus had directed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid on them their garments on which he sat. And most of the multitude spread their garments in the road, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them in the road. And the multitudes going before him, and those who followed, were crying out, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest." And we had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred and said, "Who is this?" And the multitudes were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Manfred Gutsky was a beloved Bible professor, Bible teacher on radio, on the faculty at Columbia Seminary in Atlanta, Georgia, for years. And he was known around the world for his commentary series called Plain Talk on Galatians, Plain Talk Ephesians, Plain Talk on Genesis, Plain Talk. Many of the Bible books he wrote his commentaries to say to the everyday person, which he said, without highfalutin theological words, how to understand the scripture in a way that made sense and brought Jesus into their lives. And he told the story when he was at Columbia of being a young preacher and holding revival services, and people were coming to Christ every night at his week-long revival services, and he was so excited, bragging to his father what a great job he was doing as a preacher, bringing all these people to Christ. And his father looked at him and said, "Manfred, you remember Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem?" "Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir." "You remember that donkey he was riding on?" "Oh, yes, sir, yes, sir." "Do you think the donkey thought the crowd were cheering for him?" "No, sir. Your job, Manfred, is to share the task of that donkey, to bring Jesus to the people, and remember where the honor goes." Great humility. Because, you know, there's not much dignified about a donkey. Stubborn, slow, smelly. But it's the presence of the donkey that made that parade so different when Christ entered. Who ever heard of a king riding in on a donkey? Kings and warriors and victors came in on giant stallions and white horses and banners flying and drums beating and trumpets blaring. But to ride in on a donkey? Not very dignified. To ride in on a donkey was to put that donkey in a position that was ludicrous. It was absurd. It was belittling. Or was it? These weeks of self-quarantining at home and this pandemic have proved our need for God and for one another. And I've come to think that donkey might be a very fitting role model for us right now. Here's what I learned about donkeys online this week. Donkeys are not easily startled. They're not like horses. And they have a keen sense of curiosity. Calm people and creative people are giving us what we need right now. The donkey's reputation for stubbornness is really due to its keen sense of self-preservation. Because it's difficult to force or frighten a donkey into doing something he or she does not want to do. They see something is not in their best interest or it's unsafe. That's when they balk and won't go forward. Donkeys are more independent in their thinking than our horses, and they will reason and then make a decision based on safety, their own safety. Our decisions and plans right now are being made in the interest of safety and what brings security to everyone. Training a donkey relies on showing him or her by your words and by your actions that they can trust you to protect them from harm. They learn what you want them to do if you take time to show them. Let's be patient with one another right now. Helpful to one another right now, trustworthy to one another right now. I did not realize that donkeys come from the deserts originally, and their ears are much larger than a horse's ears, and that donkeys can hear one another from miles away. Even when they hear other donkeys calling, they will respond. Even if they can't be together or see one another, they can connect with one another and communicate with one another. Kind of like us these days. Donkeys are herd animals. They don't like to be alone. They don't like being kept alone, even though a single donkey will be quite happy with a herd of goats around them. They're social animals. These weeks of isolation have been hard on us. We want connections and others around us. A herd will choose the strongest donkey to be the leader, even if it's a domesticated donkey. And in the wild, the lead donkey stays behind to face the wolf or the predator in order to protect while the rest of the herd escapes to safety. We need our protectors around us right now, and people who have done great things to protect our safety and our health. I never knew that donkeys in a herd will groom each other like monkeys and chimps will do. Or the donkeys are often the lifeline for many families in the world. They're used to carry wood, to fetch food, to bring water. They are the supply chain. They help cultivate the land and take produce to the market. Who are our heroes right now? The people in the restaurants, the grocers, the people providing for our needs and guarding us. Did you know that donkeys are used as guard animals for cattle and sheep and goats, since they have a natural aversion to dogs, canines, wolves, others, and they'll keep them away from the flock? And they're often pastured with horses because they have a very calming effect on even a nervous horse. And if a donkey is introduced to a mare and a foal, the foal will often turn to the donkey after its support has left its mother. We are blessed to have a loving, caring, comforting, strong community around us, providing for us and taking care of us. So learning about donkeys this week, I don't think that donkey carrying Jesus into Jerusalem that day felt humbled or humiliated. I think she was the perfect choice. Calming, protecting, comforting, trusting, trustworthy. Not seeking honor, just doing what donkeys do. That donkey could not know that throughout history, she's going to be remembered as the hero of the day in many ways, for celebrating this man Jesus riding on her back as she brought him into Jerusalem. Maybe she heard and took pride in her master's words. The Lord has need of her. Because whatever and whoever Jesus touched and used in his ministry, he dignified. The God who loves you and who dwells in you through Jesus has need of you too. And you have something you can provide the community, not only in these tremulous times, but always when you share the love of Christ. You can bless others around you, and you may be the one who brings Jesus to them. Jesus used ordinary people to do extraordinary things. None of his disciples were geniuses or scholars. Four were fishermen. One was a tax collector. The other, we don't even know what their trades were. With that group of ordinary men, Jesus turned the world upside down and did amazing things. So don't ever say to yourself, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough for God to use me. God does amazing things if you allow him to come into your life and use your talents. Here's some examples of ordinary people who did great things and changed the world for Christ. John Bunyan was a tinker, a tinsmith, who made and repaired household implements and utensils in England before he became an itinerant preacher. He was jailed because of his nonconformist religious teachings, but while in jail, he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, a great allegorical story about Christianity. And though scholars scoffed and scorned Bunyan, millions have found faith and hope and grown in their faith for reading Pilgrim's Progress. William Carey was a shoemaker until he became convinced and convicted of God wanted him to share the good news of Jesus Christ as an evangelist, so he became a missionary to India. Other people scoffed and sneered at him as an uneducated man, but he converted much of India to Christ. William Booth was a pawnbroker in a small town in England until he felt a compulsion to help the poor, and he organized the Salvation Army and went around the world helping meet people's needs and the underprivileged. And today, the Salvation Army is one of the greatest distributors of humanitarian aid in the world. When John Wesley, the great Methodist preacher, was a young boy, their house on their farm in England caught on fire. And a farm worker climbed a ladder to the second story and rescued young John Wesley. Did that man affect Christianity and the spread in the rest of the world? Indeed. What was his name? No one knows. Charles Spurgeon was one of the most prominent preachers and spreaders of the Christian gospel in all times. And as a young teenager, he attended church after church in his hometown in England, trying to find comfort in some word that would alleviate his sense of guilt and fear because of his sin. A snowstorm prevented him from attending the normal church he attended. Instead, he went to a nearby church, unfamiliar to him, and the snowstorm prevented the preacher from being there. So the day he went and only a handful of people were in the sanctuary, a man stood up out of the sanctuary, out of the congregation, fairly uneducated, thought to be a shoemaker, and he read a few verses in the gospel, the chapter from Isaiah, spoke a few words, a few minutes, Spurgeon said, kind of in broken sentences, not a very intelligent sermon, but he gave the word that convicted Charles Spurgeon, the word he needed. You don't have to do 1,000 things to be saved. Just look to Jesus and you will be saved. And so he turned to Spurgeon and said, young man, you look disturbed and you're never going to be at peace until you look to Jesus. Look to Jesus and live. And Spurgeon wrote, it was like the cloud lifted, his heart came alive, his spirit lifted, and that was what he preached the rest of his life. That one uneducated man, thought to be a shoemaker, changed the world through Charles Spurgeon. Many an unnamed donkey has brought Jesus to the people. We can be one of those too. Brian, you've got a few words to share from Philippians.
The Philippian text, Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. If we think about why was Christ exalted? As Hugh and I talked, was it due to his miracles? Is that what Paul recounts? Was it even due to his connection with the Father as the divine Son, the second person of the Trinity? All of those reasons seem valid and good, but why was Jesus exalted? Because he was obedient to the point of death. He humbled himself. It was his humility. And how consistent was that with what Jesus taught throughout all of his life? To deny oneself, to take up one's cross, that he who would be first would be last, and the last would be first. That this was consistent with all of Jesus' life, that those who humble themselves, those who take the lower place, will be exalted.
Jesus taught humility in those verses. He also modeled humility. On Thursday, we'll explore again his command that we love one another even as he has loved us and serve one another, which he modeled by stooping to wash the disciples' feet. On Black Friday, Jesus humbled himself and accepted death on a cross. Who ever heard of such a thing from a king? Why did God exalt Jesus? Because he humbled himself in obedience, even to death on the cross, whereby God exalted him and gave him name above every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. If you look at that Philippians passage again, it says, do nothing from selfishness or from conceit. Count others as more important than yourself. Look to the needs of others. That just runs countercultural to our emphasis, which is always be number one. In sports and others, be number one. We're frustrated that this pandemic has canceled March Madness. How do we know who's number one in basketball? Baseball season's been canceled. How do we know who's number one? Everything. The Olympics are canceled. How do we know who's number one? They've been training. How do we know who's number one? We are told, even in our own human nature, we are taught and trained. Use all your abilities, your mind, your talents, everything. Be the best. Be the best. Be better than others. Seek success. And yet Jesus said to humble yourself. That's what makes you great in the eyes of others. But that's not all bad, because Jesus accepted the hallelujahs as well as the cries to crucify him.
He did. We notice that when he came into Jerusalem, that he didn't put an end to the chorus, the hallelujahs, the praise. And those voices that praised him, that welcomed him, many would be the same voices that would go on to shout, "Crucify him, crucify him." So I think there are times in the Christian life and in our service where there is recognition, there is applause, there is approval. There is times where you venture out into the spotlight. And it doesn't seem that that's bad.
Yeah.
And at the same time, there are times in our service where we're derided, we're scorned, we're overlooked. And I think the point is that you can't be distracted by either. You can't be derailed. You can't be consumed by the praise or defeated by the shouts of scorn. That Jesus shows us the way that he was single-mindedly focused on what he was to do. And so whether he was praised or whether he was rejected, Jesus was going to continue to do the mission that his Father had handed on to him.
Just as we do out of our love and devotion to Christ, we do the things that are great and the things that are insignificant behind the scenes. We're loving and caring and doing for others. Think about it. Who have we highlighted in the last few weeks as our heroes? Hospital workers, nurses, doctors, truck drivers, the sanitation crews, the cleaning crews of the hospital with their mops and their sanitizers who are creating the clean environment that our patients need. It's the doctors and nurses and people working tirelessly and those many, many behind the scenes making it possible for us to have the security and peace that we need. And I think, who are we honoring and how are we honoring? Have you seen the videos this week of the people in the parking lot turning on their lights and honking their horns at shift change of the hospital to thank the workers? And the people gathering on their balconies in downtown apartments in Atlanta and New York and other places to cheer and clap at 7 o'clock at night at shift change as the hospital workers are coming and going. And the echoes of their thanks going through the streets, it's a sign we recognize and value those who are putting themselves out there for us in their humility. And we thank those who are making TV broadcasts from home, artists, newscasters, and everybody else to keep us connected and do what is needed to help us to move on. They're keeping us inspired, keeping us informed. They're giving us humor. They're bringing us balance in our life. And when I've called members of the church this week to check on them, almost everybody I called said somebody else has already called, checked on them, picked up their groceries, delivered what they need, just people caring one from another. It's the beauty of a church family, humbly loving and serving Christ through serving one another. We're attracted to those humble, the people who are doing great things without seeking any applause. It's not the proud and braggadocious who say, "I'm number one," and how great we are, but who are simply doing what they need to do. And Jesus says, those who humble will be exalted. So what have I learned from that Palm Sunday donkey this week? That Jesus made good use of that donkey on Sunday. He can make good use of us too. That donkey was able to bring Jesus to the people. So can you, in very many ways. Who knows what will be said of you? The Lord has need of her or him. The Lord who gave dignity and presence and prominence to a lowly donkey will give place of honor and service and duties to people like you and me. We all are needed. You are needed. The world may not know your name, but Jesus does. And when you give your heart to Christ, your heart and your name are in the Lamb's Book of Life forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Now please join me in our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession. Lord Jesus, you said to your disciples, "I am always with you. Be with me today as I offer myself to you. Hear my prayers for others and for myself, and keep me in your care. Christ, be with me.
Christ within me.
Christ behind me.
Christ before me.
Christ beside me.
Christ to win me.
Christ to comfort
and restore me.
Christ beneath me.
Christ above me.
Christ in quiet.
Christ in danger.
Christ in hearts of all that love me.
Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without whom nothing is strong, nothing is holy, increase and multiply upon us your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not our hold on things eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Be with us, Lord, in all our prayers, and direct our way toward the attainment of salvation,
that among the changes and chances of this mortal life, we may always be defended by your gracious help, through Jesus Christ our Lord. O gracious and holy God, give wisdom to perceive you,
diligence to seek you,
patience to wait for you,
eyes to behold you,
a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ our Lord.
And God our Father, by whose mercy the world turns safely into darkness and returns to light, we place in your hands our unfinished task, our unsolved problems, and our unfulfilled hopes, knowing that only what you bless will prosper. To your love and protection we commit each other and those we love, knowing that you alone are our sure defender, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen.
And remember, wherever you may go this week, even if it's at home, wherever you go, God is sending you. And Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in the Spirit's love and grace, mercy and power. Amen and amen.